Particularly well done. You can have a talk on John 1, but I gave that last night, we'll go with Matthew 2 this morning. Firstly, welcome and happy Christmas to you. It's lovely to add my greeting to you. Before we go any further, which camera are we on? Are we on that one there? I want to say a particular happy Christmas to anyone who's joining us online this morning. Whether you're part of our congregation and visiting friends and family away, hope you have a wonderful time wherever you are. And as I know there are many who are within our congregation, have been for many years, and are on their own this Christmas, we've had a joy of meeting up with many of them as we've visited around over the course of these last couple of weeks. But we want to know that you're very much part of our Christmas as we meet here this morning. That's for you at home, but wherever you are, whether you're here in church or whether you're back home, would you open up Matthew 2? Keep it open, because we're going to need that in a moment. One of the joys of Christmas is that people make journeys, whether it's travelling to visit friends who are stuck in at home, or whether it's coming and visiting with family and enjoying the festivities that you've got prepared for today. Who's had the longest journey to be here today? Is there anybody who had to travel from outside Leyland to be here and are here with us this morning? Well done to you. Few who come. Anyone who's had to travel from outside Lancashire to be with us this morning? Oh, yeah. There's a few. We've got the Warrington crowd in down there. Where have you guys come from? Birmingham. I think you might get the prize. Oh, no, there's somebody up in the balcony who's going for a bigger prize than that. Where have you come from?
Bordeaux.
Did you bring any wine with you? Excellent. It's lovely to have you with us this morning. All the way through our Christmas services, we've been looking at the journey of Jesus, that he came from heaven and he came to earth via he came to be a human being, came to earth, came to a cross, and then returned to life and to the glory of the Father. That's the great journey of Christmas, the journey of Jesus, from heaven to earth, to the cross, to life, and to the right hand of the Father. But this morning we're going to have a little bit of a think about the journey to Jesus. Not the journey of Jesus, but the journey to Jesus. Or as we saw in that video a moment ago, we could call it the journey to joy. Because if you look down in Matthew 2, in verse 10, it says, when they saw the place where Jesus was laid, they were overjoyed. Now, that would be a great journey to make this Christmas, wouldn't it? The journey to joy. So where does this journey start? Well, it starts with a question. You see that back in verse 2? Where is the one who is born king? That's a great question to be asking this Christmas time. And the journey carries on. So where's where the journey ends. It ends with joy. It begins with the question, where is the one born to be king? And it continues through a careful search. You read that in verse 8. They made a careful search for the king. This morning, therefore, we're going to go on a bit of a search. And we're going to do it, we're going to search for a joyful Christmas. And we're going to do it in the way that lots of people do searches. Here we go. Searching for a joyful Christmas. Have we got the next one? Ah, there it is. We are going on a search this morning. And you're already, I can't see a single eye that's looking at me now. You're all going for it. There's a huge amount of effort, isn't there, at Christmas time that goes into searching for a joyful Christmas. We fill Christmas with all sorts of bits of stuff, and we've been getting ready for ages. So I want to see if you can search out some of the things that we look to at Christmas. Any of the things we pump into Christmas as we search for a joyful Christmas. I'm going to give you a clue. There's some of the things up there on the side. Can you see any of those things in the words, I'll give you a clue, not all of them are there. That just makes it a little harder. I think there's about three or four of them who are up there. Okay, anybody found any of them? Who's found one? One at the back. What have you found? You found games. We'll have a look and see whether you're right in a moment. Anyone else found another one? You found turkey. Yes, I think that's in there. Who's found another one? Who's found another one? What have you found at the back? You found Santa. Excellent. Did he find you this morning? Yeah, good. Now you found him. Great. There might be one more. Anybody found one more? Oh, you found one more. I should have stayed down the back here. This is where all the intelligent people are. Christmas. You found Christmas. Have you? Where do you think that is? That's a long word. If you've... anybody found... Here's the four that I found. See where you found them. There you go. You found turkey. We found that. You found Santa. You found games. Did anybody find gifts? There you go. Well done, David. Well done. I don't think there are any more are there at the moment. At the moment. Let's go and have the search that is in our reading. Firstly, I want you to find out for me, who is it in the reading that we had who is searching? You can find it in verse 1, and it's also on the word search. Who is searching? And the problem is that in verse 1, it doesn't use the word that I put up on the screen. So if you're looking for Magi, you're going to struggle. But if you look for the one that we normally know them as, the kings. It is the kings, but we use them by a different name. What are they up there? Wise men. Is that up there? Yeah, it is. Well done. The wise men, we're told in verse 1, studied the stars. They were like astrologers, which seems a really unlikely start for the search, doesn't it? If you were going to search for the king, the last thing you're going to do is go for your horoscope in the newspaper or whatever. People search for joy in all sorts of places, don't they? They search for it in all sorts of different religions. They search for it in things like horoscopes. They search for it in food and all of those bits and bobs that we've put up on the screen a moment ago. But this particular group of people were chosen with a very particular purpose. Where did they come from? That's definitely up there. It's in verse 2, but it's definitely up there as well. Can you find out where they came from? Did anybody find that before? I wasn't looking up on the balcony earlier on. Any of our friends from Bordeaux or wherever it is found where they came from? Or down here, where have we found it? It's in verse 2. Have you got a guess? The east. It is there. There you go. It's down the bottom. But you had to work up. It's one of those difficult ones which goes in the wrong direction and confuses you. These wise men came from the east to find the king of the Jews. Strange, isn't it? This was a worldwide search. Everyone in the whole world is looking for joy. And the great hope in this search that we read about in Matthew 2 is that it's not just for one group of people. This is a search for the whole. This is a search for the one who will bring joy to the whole world, not just for those from a small country in Israel. Of course, in our day, we are longing that joy will come to those who live in Israel today, who live in Gaza, who live in Ukraine. And this message is that there is joy for the whole world. Now, who else is searching? We've had the wise men, and that was difficult because it wasn't written exactly in the passage. But who else is searching in our passage in verses 3 to 4? There's someone else who goes on a bit of a search. Herod. Very good. Did you find him? There he is. Okay. Here's a man who needs joy, isn't he? Did you read about him in verses 3 to 4? What does it say in verse 3 to 4? When King Herod heard that he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. He was anxious, he was worried. And when someone as powerful as he was gets worried, everyone around him gets worried too. The whole city got worried. We live with a lot of worry at the moment. What will we do? What will others do? What will happen when powerful people get worried? And that anxiety, that worry can rob us of our joy. So let's take a closer look at this wonderful search and the joy that is found here. Herod does this little search. You can see it in those middle verses from verse 4 onwards. What does Herod call the king? I've got another translation issue here. It's in verse 4, but there's a word there in verse 4 that we have one version of. The other one is on the word search. The more famous one is on the word search. In verse 4, it calls him the Messiah. Who is he searching for? The Christ. Did you find it on the word search? Can you show me where it is? It's in between gifts and Herod. There you go. There he is. The promised one. That's all it means. It's the same word that Messiah means. The promised one. The one Israel is looking forward to. And where did he find the information? Now, you do have to look hard here, because it's not even in the verse. You have to look down in the little footnote at the bottom. That's where the clue is, or maybe you already know. Where did he find this information? It was somebody who wrote a long time ago. Where did he find him? Well done, Jill. He found him in Micah. Have you found it up there? There it is. 750 years before Jesus was born. Not only was he the promised one, he was the prepared one. Micah wrote in a time when the world was a real mess, particularly that part of the world was a real mess. And yet, even in the middle of that mess, God was preparing to bring the one who would bring joy. And what does Micah call this one, this Christ, this king? What does he call him in verse 5? Did you find that up there? It's there in verse 6. He would come and bring... Sarah, did you have it? A ruler. A ruler. There we go. And that doesn't go down well with Herod, because he wants to rule. He thinks joy comes from being the one in charge. And Jesus would be, this baby, this Christ, would be a threat to that. And so his joy, because he was threatened by this ruler who would come, his search for joy ends up in a very different place. Now, if you need to look a little bit beyond our reading. You need to look to another prophet who wrote. It's actually written out for us in verse 18. If you've got your Bibles open, you look down at verse 18. Where did Herod's search for joy end? Where did Herod's search for joy end? It's quite a long word, this one, so it should be all right to find. Anyone found it? Where? Oh, I heard it, but I didn't see it. Viv got it. Where is it? There it is. His search for joy ended in weeping. He doesn't find the joy that he needs. Joy isn't a universal thing. It's not just given to everyone. He ends up being furious. He ends up being murderous. He ends up trying to get rid of Jesus. And all it produces for him and for his people is misery. It produces tears. So, are we any nearer the search for joy, the end of the search for joy this Christmas? Go back to the wise men. What did they follow? What did they follow? Everyone knows this. What did they follow? A star. Okay. They followed a star. Let's see if that star can help us. It says they were overjoyed, in verse 10, it says overjoyed when they saw the star. So, let's remove all the clutter around it. And then let's take away what we've seen already. And can anybody see what we are left with? Can anybody see it? Any of the children see it? Anybody, the children, work out what we're left with? What do we get? We've ended up with worship. The star led them to the one to be worshipped. And friends, that's it. That is the key to a joyful Christmas. They were searching for the one to worship. Worship is not about using the right words or saying you'll do something. Herod did all of that. He used the right words. He said, I want to go and worship. He said, I'm going to do something about it. I'm going to go and search. It's not about the information you gather. Did you notice that Herod gathered all sorts of information? He sent his people out and gathered loads of stuff together. He even looked in the Bible. And yet he didn't find the joy. And it's not just about where you come from or who you are, because the wise men came from the east. Worship is very simple. It is about bowing down before the Lord Jesus as our ruler, a good and wise and gentle ruler, who shepherds us, as we see in verse 6. Now I wonder whether you this morning have discovered the joy of letting Jesus be in charge, of letting him care for you. As you plan for next year, joy comes from living Jesus' way, allowing him to be your ruler, presenting him with our treasures. Did you see how the wise men did that? The things that our hearts hold dear. Now, we focus on the gold and the frankincense and the myrrh, but frankly, we don't have much of that these days. But the things that we hold are our treasures, aren't they? The things that we hold dear. And they opened their treasures. They opened up all that was valuable. And I wonder whether we have realized that the joy that we long for involves giving up the things that our hearts cling to and worshiping Jesus alone. It led the wise men to be overflowing with joy, overwhelmed with joy. The journey of Jesus that came from heaven to a stable, to the manger, to the cross, ends with him exalted to the highest place, to being given the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. Have you realized this Christmas that the journey to Jesus, which we all must make one way or another, is the journey to joy? When we acknowledge that he has the highest place, that he is the good ruler, that he is worthy of our worship, it is humbling. It is humbling to bow the knee before Jesus. But it is the greatest joy as we worship the one who is truly worthy of worship. May you know that joy this Christmas and throughout this coming year.